This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this fine Saturday afternoon, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And Debbie just entered the room. Hey, Debbie.
Debbie, come on, join the party.
She's smiling. Carrie's here.
I'm here.
It's so great to have you next to me because you're such a support. Someone I always need next to me.
I'm like one of those, like, you know, one of those beams in a house that just keeps it up. What are they called?
You do keep me up. Yeah.
Just five years almost, right?
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
The beam, support. What are they called? Beam, come on, you know it.
Beam me up. Debbie's not helping. Beam me up.
It's what keeps the house up. They have different supports. If they're not there, they could cave in. Your second story could go. So could your roof.
A bra? That's right.
That's what I am. I'm a bra to you. I support you like a bra.
It's great support. Thankfully, my boobs aren't that big.
I can't even think of it. I'm not a construction person.
You know, it's so important to have that kind of support, not only emotionally, not only mentally, but also financially.
I agree with you.
And, you know, for so long, for so many years we've been doing this show, I always drive into the studio and I have to listen to this show called Money Matters with Ken Morafe. We decided right here on Gervey's Law, for the first time, we're going to do a show on investments.
Yeah,
and
I think it's good.
And we got some real credible people. We went all over the city to find the best money managers, some wealth managers, investment managers. We'll find out what they want to be called. We are going to address investments. So if you are interested in finding out about wealth management, you want to listen to the show today. And this is such a great time for me to do this because I will be going on vacation shortly. I'm going up to the cottage up in Toronto, up in Muskoka.
You go every year.
I go every year. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. So this would be a good time to talk about money because I know that I'm going to be relaxing and I could think about how I can maximize any money. What about you?
Oh, passive income, real estate, investing. I think it's the best. I think it's, you can't get anything better. I think when you were putting your money into something, hands down, it's real estate.
Well, sitting beside you are two experts and you can ask them those questions because I'm not sure they agree with you, but we'll find out. I want to introduce to Gervey's Law right now, Josh Oder and Steve Zorn. They are both of Oder Investment Management. They have been doing this for quite some time, over 18 years experience. And it's incredible because I trust them with my money, which means that they must be the best. Josh and Steve, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. You know, you guys have been doing this and you've got a great company, but I know you weren't always involved in wealth management. How did you guys, and I know the answer, Carrie.
Yes.
But I gotta ask them because it's pretty cool how they met and what their passion was before they became passionate about money.
Well, so we both went to Pepperdine University.
With my sister.
That's right. Yes. That's right. And both played in the baseball team together for 4 years from 1994 to 98.
Was a guy named Sean Kennedy on that team?
He was not. Okay. No, I don't recognize that name. Maybe a little earlier than us.
Yeah,
and they both did really well. They're not going to say it, but they were both, like conference all-stars, and they played with some really great teams. They had an amazing team. Randy Wolf, your roommate.
Yeah, Randy Wolf was a roommate of mine in my
played
wedding.
For the Dodgers in your wedding.
Yeah, and a number of other teams, about 13 years in the big leagues. Good friend of mine. We also had quite a few other players that made it to the big leagues, lasted maybe 5 or 6 years. Probably not names as big as Randy, I would say. There was a pitcher after us named Dan Heron who had a really great career in the big leagues. I think he won a World Series or two.
Steve?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made it to the World Series with, I think, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then I think he went on to have quite a good career with the A's as well, and then he finished up with the Dodgers.
And Steve is still playing baseball.
I still am, yeah. I still play in a men's league. Yeah.
You may can't make it into the bigs.
Yeah.
You never know.
I haven't actually gone the route that Josh has yet and gone to slow pitch softball.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Come on now.
Go ground bombers.
Be easy there.
Yeah. But, yeah, I still, you know, I get the competitiveness on there on Sundays. And we actually just lost this past weekend, so our season's over until next month.
Too bad. It's too bad.
But it's fun to get out there and still mix it up with all the guys and see competitive pitching every Sunday.
So how did you guys get involved with wealth management? I mean, there you are playing for Pepperdine, having great teams. They're both great ball players. And then here you are.
So I was fortunate. My dad was great at guiding me through what was going on in my life at that time. And, you know, of course, I wanted to pursue my baseball career, but at some point you kind of realize that maybe that's not going to happen. 5'9" outfielder, tough to make it all the way. So I remember being on a road trip and my dad talking to me and saying, hey, you know, we need to find another path for you in case this baseball thing doesn't work out. And at the time I was an economics major at Pepperdine, and I was always interested in the stock market. It's different every day. I think a lot of the traits of being an athlete translate to being an investment advisor. You know, you're competitive, you're determined. Teamwork is a big part of it, too.
There you go, Carrie. Investment advisor.
Investment advisor.
Yes.
That's what I prefer.
That's what he prefers. Yeah. So we don't want to call you wealth management.
Money marketer or whatever you were calling it.
Money marketer, definitely not. No.
money handler.
Yeah, money handler, no.
Okay, so I like real estate. That's what I invest my money into. So what do you suggest and what are you doing and why, you know, this over that?
You know, I think real estate is a piece of an overall puzzle, right? So, you know, I think to put too much of your money in real estate can be a risky thing to do. It's a non-liquid asset, right? So unless you have real estate where you have people inside the homes or the apartments, they're actually generating income for you.
Yes. That is what I invest in.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's a great thing. It's a fixed income alternative. We have investments like that also. I just think you have to be careful about how much of your overall liquid net worth you actually put into real estate.
So kind of diversify.
Diversify. Exactly right. Right. Yeah. And I mean, real estate definitely has a place, in a portfolio for sure. And in this environment, when interest rates are very low, that's positive for real estate. It's also when you look at the fixed income market and the bond market, you know, you're not getting great returns there. So to be able to have some real estate where the real estate's generating income for you, it's a great fixed income alternative.
You know, the problem, though, is what Josh talks about is when you put all your eggs in one basket, you never know what's going to happen. So when you, Steve, have someone come into your office or you talk to them on the telephone, what if, and they want to invest. They have some money. They want to make sure they're taken care of in the future. What are some of the questions that you're going to ask them?
Well, first, we want to find out what their goals are. We want to know exactly how old they are, because if they're closer to retirement, then most likely they're going to have to be a little bit more conservative because, you know, the money is going to be a little bit more at risk due to the fact that they're going to be retiring soon. So they don't want to be as aggressive. Now, when you're younger, obviously you could be a little more aggressive.
Because you have more time to screw up.
Exactly. The ups and downs of the market you can actually recover from. So find out what their goals are. Find out if they have kids, if they want to send them to college, if they want to buy a second home, if they want to travel.
You know, it's interesting when you say if they want to send them to college. I think everyone has that goal, or most people would have that goal. But the question is, you don't know what's going to happen with kids. When you have kids that are like my age, and all of Josh has two kids, Steve has two kids that are younger, you don't know what's going to happen with them. So how do you decide how much money you're going to put in or put aside for college when the kids may never get there?
But on this, just on another hand, like, well, who cares? Put the money aside. If they don't go to college, take it out, right? It's not like a irrevocable trust, right?
I think you may be wrong. Let's find out.
So if they have multiple kids, it is obviously a backup plan if one doesn't want to go, because if you set up a 529 account, which is specifically set aside for college, and that child decides not to go to school, you can give it to a second beneficiary, which would be the other child. Now, if neither of them want to go, then you're going to actually get hit with taxes removing the money.
Ooh, so, but you can still remove it. You're not like the money's not just sitting there.
Exactly.
You can take it out, still have access to it, but
okay. you'll get hit with a 10% penalty.
Okay, so now are there any investments where you do want to send your kid to college, but then
you don't want to put in the 529?
Okay, so just invest it in something else, keep it in.
Yeah, you can do a custodial account, which the only issue with the custodial account, though, is that at a certain age, 18 or 21, depending on the state you're in, the money will become the child's. And so that's a difficult thing because you just, like we were talking about before, you don't know what your children are going to be like. I think the 529 is a great tool. One thing it does is it keeps you disciplined in saving for school. And so even if you get to the point where both your kids don't go to college or say they get scholarships and you don't need that money, you still have that money there at the time when the time comes, right?
And the advantage, the advantage of the 529 is the fact that it grows tax-free. Yeah. And you remove, when you take the money out of the account, it's 100% tax-free.
And here's another good thing about that, because if I wanted to take money out one of my investments, unless I'm doing a 1031 exchange, my taxes are a lot heavier than 10%. So actually, if I wanted to do that, and if I had a kid and they didn't want to go to college and I then only had to pay 10%, it's going to be a lot less.
Right. And the good thing about the 529 is not specifically for your typical higher institutions. You could go to a hair school. Other types of
anything.
Yeah, anything.
A trade school.
Exactly. And you could still use it. Now, an additional point that just happened this year with the Trump tax plan is now you can actually use 10,000 of it for higher education for secondary school, high school.
For lower education.
Wow.
Exactly. So, so now that's something new that you can use it for now, which just happened this year.
You know, we have to take a quick break, but really fast, I want to talk a little bit about, while we're talking about saving for kids, how much money do you need to put away now? Because we don't know what's going to happen in 15, 20 years, 12 years, however long you're putting money away for. How do you advise people on how much to put aside for kids?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, obviously, education costs have gone up a ton. So, generally, we're advising our clients to put away as much as they possibly can. These days, Pepperdine, just for instance, is,
right,
I think, $65,000.
Wow.
Which is crazy, because when we were there, I think it was $28,000.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so.
Don't ask how much I paid.
Education inflation has gone through
a lot less.
Yeah.
Really?
So you got to put a lot of money away.
Well, because I was there before they were. You know, and that makes a lot of sense. But I guess the question is, how do you divide up the money that you have? Because there's only so much money that people can put away. You got to live off something.
Right.
And people, especially in this town, like to live high on the hog, and they have trouble putting money away. We're going to talk about other strategies of what you can do with your money when we come back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Allie's mom knew she had a strong kick even back in the womb. And from then on, Allie was always kicking a ball and saying she was going to play pro soccer. And one day, while she was kicking a ball against a wall, her skills drew even more attention. Her boss said, "Could you please stop that and get me those quarterly numbers I asked for?" Turns out Allie just wasn't that good at soccer. But she was a good accountant. That's why she switched to Geico. She knew they could save her a bunch of money on car insurance. And she sure wasn't ever going to make that pro soccer money. No, sir.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
The 4 for 4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for 4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm Junior Bacon Cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8. great. The Wendy's 4 for 4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Shock. The song is about money.
Oh, and then I'm dancing. I thought you were going to say something about me.
No, I was going to say you could sing that this is a tough song to sing.
Yeah.
But
it's good to dance to.
You can dance to it. There we go. Yes, we're talking money today. This is Gervie's Law. I don't know what it has to do with the law, but of course there are regulations and legal issues that come up from time to time when we're talking about investments. And I'm having problems with my headphones. Wow, what a shock.
Here, just plug it in a little more. Maybe it's a little loose.
All right, I'm plugging it in. We're plugged in with Josh Oder and Steve Zorn. They are of Oder Investment Management. They're in Calabasas. Woodland Hills, actually. I'm sorry. Yeah. How did I say Calabasas?
Because they live in Calabasas. Yeah, one's in Calabasas at least. Josh.
Well, we're not going to tell you where he lives.
Please don't.
Before please don't. You know, they are in Woodland Hills, Oder, O-D-E-R Management, Investment Management. And before the break, we were talking about strategies of investing your money. And we talked a little bit about taking care of your kids and protecting the future for your kids. But it's always difficult to figure out where you want to put your money. Because there's different ways to either invest, and Carrie brought up, you know, real estate, which she's a fan of. And, you want to put money aside for your kids, but at the same time, you want to put money aside for retirement. How do you assess the strategies of where to allocate money? Because I'm sure for most people, we're talking about a fixed amount, and especially when we're talking about certain amounts that can be put aside tax-free. So you have to make some decisions, and that's what you guys are the expert at. Josh, what do you do to help people allocate, and where are you looking to allocate their money?
Yeah, well, the first thing is diversify, 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 right? And so every plan that we create is unique to the families that we work with. Every situation is different, right? So a lot of firms that you'll go to will have maybe four or five model portfolios. They'll have you fill out a risk tolerance questionnaire, and they'll slot you into one of those portfolios. But, you know, you and I might have the same risk tolerance, but we don't have the same financial situations, right? So you have to create a plan unique to every individual that comes into your firm. And that's what we do. It's something different than most other firms do. And then from there, you know, you have to allocate the assets based upon what you gain from them in the meeting in terms of their objectives, how much they have, how much they're earning. And then you diversify through many different asset classes and structure something that can last them for the long term. Take some of that financial stress.
What is that?
Well, so, I mean, that would be, you're talking about international small cap exposure, mid cap exposure, large cap exposure. You're going to go into some fixed income that can be corporate bonds, municipal bonds. You're going to have some alternative investments, some commodity exposure. You might have some real estate exposure. There's a lot of different areas that you go into. You put the plan together, and that plan is meant for the long term. And what that does is that takes emotion out of it for most investors. The number one killer of financial futures is emotion. When your emotion gets involved, you end up doing things that aren't smart. That will change your plan. You might panic sell in a downturn. I saw a stat the other day that since 2009, the market is corrected by 5% or more 22 times since 2009. And every time, I swear, I've heard them say, we're going into a bear market every time. And here we are 9 years later. So, you know, you have to have that plan in place so that you don't deviate from your long-term goals. It's very easy to get nervous and to liquidate positions.
Absolutely.
In downturns. Yeah.
And there's some people who watch the stock market every day and get nervous. I'm sure you get people who call you
Absolutely.
And say, oh, this stock is down, sell it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like... we were just talking about this today, actually, the fact that these channels like CNBC and Fox Business, they get their best ratings when the market is tanking. And it's because fear is what they actually are craving. And
that's most of news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's so the good thing about having the plan in place is that the fact, like Josh touched on, it eliminates the emotion. And if you just stick to the plan, eventually long term, you'll be okay. Because when 2008 happened, nobody knew when the bottom was. But
right.
if you stayed in, you had a huge bounce and then some. And so the nobody knows when that bottom's going to hit or when to get back in. So if somebody says, oh, yeah, let's just sell everything when it's going down, you don't know when to get back in, and then you miss the whole bounce.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I think it's so important to have professional management. I know that for a long time I kind of avoided it. I thought I was pretty cocky, and I could watch on the Internet and figure out where I wanted my money. But you, as an individual who have another job, I have a day job, it's so hard to watch everything and to diversify, to see everything. And what you guys do every day is you're looking all over different markets, different commodities, different stocks, and you're able to have a plan in place, which most people can't. And people don't understand that, how important it is for whatever the percentage that you pay for someone to manage your money. It is so worth it, from what I've found anyway, because I can't for the life of me figure out how to diversify the way that you guys can.
Yeah, it's difficult to do, and it also hopefully takes some financial stress out of your life. Trying to do it on a daily basis when you have another job is almost impossible. And these markets these days, they're moving all over the place. They're very volatile. It's a global market these days. So, you know, that's why we have a job. And you know, ultimately, the idea is to take away from our clients the stresses that come with managing your own money. And that's what the plan is designed to do. And, you know, you don't just invest the money and forget about it inside the plan. You direct money into certain, you know, at a certain percentage towards certain allocations, right? And then as things move around, you trim some, you add some, you do different things to manage those positions. And that's what we do. So it's not a buy and never look at again. It's a buy and a manage strategy.
Isn't it a buy, hold, and sell?
Oh, man.
Hey, if you're good enough to predict the markets and you can do that, then that's fine. But that's very difficult to do.
So
Carrie.
Okay.
I want to find out, but I want to hear from you, Carrie, but I want to know what this is difficult, the buy, hold, sell.
Oh,
why
man.
Is that difficult?
Well, I just, you know, if you, like I just said before, 22 times, corrections of 5% or more since 2009, okay? If you watch CNBC or you listen to many of the pundits, many of those pundits are they get on air and they start talking about basically panicking and getting out of the market, okay? For anybody to completely get out of the market, well, then when do you get back in, right? If you miss certain days in the market, certain bounce back days in the markets, that can really affect your financial future. It's just not easy to do. And these days, with the volatility the way it is, you know, we were having swings where the Dow would be down 500 points.
Right.
It'd bounce back, it'd be up 200 at the end of the day. I mean, it's just.
And if you would have shorted the stock, yeah, you would have made a ton of money. So that's the way you do it.
Well, yeah. There you go.
we are not day traders.
What is your seventh job?
We're
not. Yeah.
No, I get it. But
yeah.
what about crypto? What do you guys think about the crypto market?
She didn't get the memo.
I didn't.
Well, so the crypto market, I mean, just if you're worried about the stock market, and we've heard a lot of questions about the crypto market, obviously. I mean, everyone's been talking about it. And you think the stock market is volatile, just look at the crypto market.
Sure.
The crypto market, I think Bitcoin started the year around 20,000. I think today it's at 8,000. That's a crash. You know, that's a mighty...
Well, it varies. I don't know if it's at 8,000 today, but
it moves around.
Yeah, it moves around fast.
In a week or two, it could be back up at 20,000.
Sure, sure.
And it's very hard to understand the movements in that market. Okay, so... not something that we are.
I just wanted their opinion on it. I mean, because everybody's like, well, you know, it's a good, if you really understand, it's a good way to make money fast. Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's very too dangerous. You don't want to put your money. There's so many people that, you know, deal with money that have different opinions on it.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you some advice. If you're going to put some money into that market, don't put all your money into
right.
it.
There you go.
Just a small portion. You don't want to ride that roller coaster too long.
Yeah,
we had Congressman Brad Sherman on, and he's very much against cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. and he's spoken out against it. We've had other people on the show who have talked about how they've made a lot of money. All I can say is that four and a half years ago, we had Steve Beauregard on. And he, at that time, Bitcoin was at about $120. He told me to invest.
He did. He said buy it.
Buy. Of course I didn't. And, you know, seeing it last December at, you know, 20,000 in January, 20,000. I don't want to hear another word about cryptocurrency.
You could have been so rich.
You know, it's funny about that, though, just to touch on it briefly. I mean, we must have fielded, 20, 30 calls about Bitcoin at the end of last year.
Wow.
I mean, everybody was talking about it. And sometimes when that happens, that's when you kind of know that maybe too many people are getting involved. And it had a great run at the end of last year, obviously.
You know, you bring up a good point about what I call the ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many stocks that people don't get into when they should, whether it's an IPO or whatever it is, and they shoot up, and then they come to you and say, oh, I need to be in Facebook, or I need to be in Apple, I need to be in Google, I need to be in Alphabet, you know, all that stuff. And you're like, what do you say when you say, well, why didn't you come to us 4 or 5 years ago?
Right.
Before it had gone crazy? Or do you say, hey, that's a good buy?
Yeah, well, Josh and I actually were just talking about this today as well.
You guys do a lot of talking
to each other.
The fact that, you know, everybody wants to get on the FANG stocks, you know, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google.
They're blue chip stocks, yeah.
Yeah, the large tech companies that just have blown up. And everybody wants a portion, but, like, when Facebook earnings fall and, you know, people are like, oh, no, what happened? Well, maybe you shouldn't have gotten into that because you wanted it so badly, you know, they could actually blow up in your face sometimes. So that's where having someone manage it and not putting everything into those big FANG stocks helps out.
Especially if Cambridge Analytica is involved.
Exactly. Yeah, you just like panic selling, you have panic buying. And that's what I would term that, panic buying. And listen, some of those companies, Apple, Google, and Facebook make a ton. I mean, Amazon does too. They all make a ton of money. And fundamentally, they're not as stretched, I would say, as the tech stocks were back in 99 into the 2000 tech crash, pretty much. They're making money. Some of them are pushing out dividends. They're good, solid companies. But sometimes momentum gets involved and the stocks go really far, really fast. If you talk about Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, it went from, I believe, 160 to 220 or something like that, and then back down on earnings. So the runs are really, you have to look at how much the movement has been over the recent time period, right?
Yeah.
Maybe work your way in.
We got to take a quick break, but just a quick question before the break. Do you dissuade people? I know this is a general question. You can't give a definitive answer, but do you dissuade people when the stock has a really high price, but it could go higher? Or do you just say, hey, you might make some money on, but you're not going to get rich?
We don't look at price so much as the valuation of the company, right? So
good answer.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, Google has a very high price, but the valuation of the company is not as high as the stock price. So
I feel like we're on Shark Tank when we start talking about the valuation. They're always talking about the valuation. They
it's
have
very
a valuation
important.
Of $2 million. And you know, Mark Cuban's saying, how do you come up with this valuation? We'll talk about that after the break. We need to take a break. You're listening to Gervie's Law. He's Josh Oder. He's Steve Zorn. I'm Alan Gervie. And she's Carrie Kasem.
That's me.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Summer is here. The sun is out, and so are you. When you go, take along a clever little app called Audible so you can listen to the stories you love while doing the things you love outside. A walk, a run, the pool, or the beach. All better with Audible. For just $14.95 a month, you get a credit good for any audiobook from the world's largest selection. If you don't like it, exchange it anytime. So get outdoors with Audible. Start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free at audible.com.
As realtors, we won't stop until you own the house you've always wanted. But owning the house means owning up to what you really want. So go ahead. Own that these pinewood floors are the closest you'll ever come to camping. Own that you want a foyer just so you can say, foyer. Own that you want a vegetable garden, even if the only thing that grows there is your sense of inadequacy. It's time to own what you want. So get someone who gets what you want. Get a realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The 90K ABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Over 40,000 people have been displaced as wildfires in Northern California have burned hundreds of thousands of acres. Governor Brown says there will be more.
I don't like to scare people, but I always want to say we got tough times ahead, and no matter how comfortable you feel or how everything looks good, the part of wisdom is to be ready for what we don't know.
Yosemite National Park's iconic cliffs are shrouded in so much smoke from nearby wildfires that the air quality in parts of the park is being described as worse than Beijing. First Lady Melania Trump has praised LeBron James for his charity work less than a day after her husband attacked the NBA superstar's intellect in a tweet last night. Through a statement issued by her secretary, the First Lady said she would even consider visiting the school that James opened last week in Akron, Ohio. KABC SoCal weather, clear skies this evening and areas of low clouds and fog into the morning with lows in the mid-60s to around 70. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
We are back. We are going to hear every song about money that has ever been sung in the history of the world today.
It's a lot of songs. Lots.
This is a good one.
It is a good one. I like this. You get a good job with your pay
and you're okay. We could sit here and listen to the song for the rest of the hour, or we could continue to talk to Josh Oder and Steve Zorn of Oder Investment Management. They are giving us a lot of good information, great information, about the stock market and about investing. In fact, we've just had some calls here. People want to know what your number is. The number is 818-676-0036. That's 818-676-0036. They're available for consultations. It's Oder Investment Management. And before the break, we were talking about a lot of the diversification, the tech stocks, the volatility. When you talk to people, how can you put people's mind at ease? What do you do in the plan? Because you've talked about how you develop plan strategies that will match with their objectives and goals. But how do you get people to relax and let you deal with the money?
Well, we have to first off present them with the plan. And so we make sure that they're comfortable with the plan. And if they do, and if they are comfortable with it, then we actually implement the plan.
What if they know nothing about it? Because you guys do have, it's amazing how you have these really nice computer printouts that you give with your plans. You can go over it line by line. It really looks really beautiful.
Right.
But a lot of people who are lay people right. don't really understand what each item is.
So we'll walk them through each and every page of the plan and explain it to them in detail so that they know exactly what we're investing in. And explain what's conservative, what's aggressive, what's kind of moderate in the middle. And based on that, hopefully we could put their mind at ease and then start implementing the plan. Now, once the plan is in place, some people are actually just too nervous still. And so we'll have to tweak the plan to cater to them. And, you know, that doesn't happen too often, but sometimes it does. And, you know, obviously we want to make the client happy. So we tell them up front, you know, maybe this isn't going to meet the goals that we had originally talked about, but just to keep your mind at ease, we're going to do this. And so that's how we stick to the plan so that they don't veer off it. Because once the emotion gets involved, it starts to get ugly.
And it's like that with any investment, I think, as well, too. Because in housing, when, you know, you're buying a house, whether it's personal or investment, if you get really emotionally attached to it, you know, then you can't, you're not going to make the best deal. You're not going to have, you know, walk in and when we teach people how to buy a house, you walk in, do not say you love this house. It's the last thing you want to say. Do not show any emotion. You get a better deal.
Yeah, I think you want to put the people in charge, right?
Yeah.
So our specialty is the investment side. The clients need to release some of that to us. And obviously over time, trust is developed. That helps a lot. But anytime volatility does pick up in the market, we do get phone calls and, that's to be expected.
Right.
But oftentimes that's where our guidance comes in because we talk to them. We more often than not get them back on page with us.
By holding their hands.
Yeah, by holding their hands, right? I mean, it's kind of cliche, but it's very true, though.
Annoying clients that you're just like, I can't do this anymore. Take your money back. I'm done.
Seriously,
I need to know.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Do you, though? Have you ever given the money back and said, look, we're not for you?
Maybe Ken Marafe doesn't have. But.
Oh, my God.
No, typically, we'll do that up front. We'll know up front if we want to work with someone or not. And if we just decide that, okay, this person may become a problem down the road and they're going to be just too emotional and we just don't want to get involved with something like that, then we'll just pass.
Do you find that men or women are more emotional?
Mm. Oh, loaded question.
It's not. I want to know. It's a good one.
I would probably say men, to be honest with you.
Good answer.
Just in our experience, yeah.
Well, because I think
it's a little bit of both. I mean, it's hard to say.
But men think they know more.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a man just like they have some kind of, sometimes I think, and Carrie, I may be wrong, but some arrogance, and sometimes women are more willing to listen. That's generalization.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that I know is really important to people is how you get paid and whether or not it's going to take a huge bite out of their money. And I always say, as a lawyer, I always say, you know what? When you have my services, you are going to do so much better than not having my services, regardless of what you pay. But in your case, it's a percentage, usually a fixed percentage, right? So don't actually see, they're not seeing a bill that they're writing a check to you for.
That's right. Yeah. So we charge a percentage of assets under management. And we are a completely fee-only firm, which is different from a lot of other firms. We don't receive any commissions or kickbacks for any type of investment we put in our clients' portfolios, right? So we remove all conflicts of interest. That percentage of assets under management, obviously, if your money's growing and doing well, it's great for the client, it's better for us. So we every last dollar that we take in as revenue is from our investment management fees. There's a lot of fee-based advisors out there, advisors that are taking commissions for investments they're putting into their client accounts. And just in our view, that's a conflict of interest. It can push you into investments that maybe aren't the best for your clients. And we're also fiduciaries, which that's a big word right now. A lot of people are talking a lot about that. There's a fiduciary standard that is in place for us, which means you have to work in your client's best interest at all times.
Right.
Which you would think would be the industry standard, but
no,
surprisingly, it's not.
So fiduciaries, I have to get into this. I, you know, see a lot of what I find to be people kind of taking advantage. Not at all, because I work in elder abuse. So you see the financial elder abuse and the fiduciaries kind of taking over. What do you think? Do you think there needs to be any more protections put in place for fiduciaries and guardianships and everything like that?
Well, I mean, I think if you're talking about the investment advisory industry, I think the fiduciary side of the business is absolutely the way to go. And I think it should be a standard across the industry. They have something called a suitability standard that's in place for some advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, in that case, if you deem an investment suitable for a client, you can buy that investment. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's in their best interest, necessarily.
Right, right.
Higher fees, you know, maybe an annuity that has a huge commission kickback to the advisor that maybe the client isn't aware of. A lot of elderly people get taken advantage of, actually, in that situation.
And, you know, not only elderly, because you've warned me about that, and I appreciate Josh saying that, because he looked at my portfolio and he saw some of these things with some kickbacks and things, and he said, you know, hey, that's in the interests of your investment management person or something. And when you have someone that's honest with you and says, hey, you don't want to do that if it's just for someone else's interests versus your own.
Yeah, I think in our business, transparency is hugely important.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, by making our firm fee only, you know what you're paying us. We see clients all the time. We'll do reviews. Prospects come in and they'll put in front of us a 30-page report, and we'll ask them, you know, do you know what you're paying as a percentage to this advisor? They won't know because it's a line item on page 18 of the report.
Right.
So even as a fiduciary, you just charge a fee.
We charge as a
fee. Yeah.
Wow. See, so, you know, that is how this should be always. That would stop so much abuse.
Right.
And, you know, people being taken advantage of. Because being a fiduciary, like a guardian, you take over, you can make decisions on that person's behalf. But if you're not making extra money because of it, there's less likely going to be, you know, an issue with that abuse. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's what should be standard.
You know, and you talk about the abuse, and I know one of the areas that Josh and Steve are very interested in is our athletes. And when we talk about the money that athletes have and the management of their money, I think, Carrie, to your point, a lot of these athletes are taken advantage of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've seen it tons of times with all these athletes, like not only just real estate that they've gotten into and just can't get out of after they're done with their playing careers, but just all of these other investments that someone has proposed, that private investments that they think is like the next greatest thing that's going to blow up and they're going to make all this money, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many of these athletes fall into that trap and get taken advantage of because they just don't have the proper guidance. And they're surrounded by people that aren't actually out for the best interest. And so they get taken advantage of. And it's really unfortunate because it happens a lot.
How many times have you heard we should, you know, the athletes that we have, they should be in some kind of class, money management class, investing class, understanding where their money is, looking at the scams, looking, hey, if somebody wants you to open up a record label,
yeah,
okay, what's the percentage of record labels that actually make it? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
But it's like there's no education yet. Let's get them through college. But wait a second. They're going to get pro contracts. Let's show them how to, you know, and where to put their money.
Right. There absolutely should be some sort of classes that these athletes have to take as they know that they're going to be turning pro.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they will get taken advantage of and they just, they're lost.
Yeah. But that's not going to happen. Josh, what do you think? We only have a minute before the break. Mm. What do you think you can do for athletes to avoid that? Because a lot of them are too involved in whatever they're doing, their sport or with their partying or whatever it is, and they turn a blind eye to what's going on with their money.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, the athlete area is a really tough area to get into. A lot of people are trying to get in there, obviously. You have agents involved. You have business managers involved. And listen, when you're 18 to 25 years old and you get a large sum of money in your bank account, you know, your primary focus is your sport. And everything else is kind of on the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, how many of those kids understand that half that money is going to the government? How much is going to your agent? How much is going to your business manager? I think when you talk about classes and educating these guys, I know the NFLPA actually does do something at the rookie symposium for these guys, but I think it needs to be continuing education. You know, it needs to go on. Maybe I know the agents don't want to get involved because the agents, I think, view it as kind of a liability, but people around these guys need to help them out and give them some guidance. Get the right people around them.
Yeah, you know, you're just making a good point for not being a professional baseball player. You guys make the right decision. Here you are with your own investment management company, having been star college baseball players at Pepperdine, and you know what you're doing with your money, where these baseball players, they have no clue, a lot of them. So mm-hmm. You made the right decision by being in this business. We got to take a quick break. We're talking to Josh Oder and Steve Zorn of Oder Investment Management. They're in Woodland Hills. And again, their number is 818-676-0036, 818-676-0036. We have a break, and we will be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Welcome to Office Depot. Can I help you?
Absolutely. I've got to get my school shopping done today.
All right. Right now we've got mechanical pencils and Crayola markers for $1, plus 25-cent notebooks. What's on your list?
What's on my list? I need pencils, 6 notebooks, a backpack, 2-inch binders, plus a laptop, and a planner.
If you've got a list, we've got the supplies. Office Depot Office Max has low prices all summer long when you shop online, on our app, or in-store. This week, save $200 and get a Dell Inspiron 15-inch laptop for just $499.99. Limit supply, see store for details.
Hey, y'all. This is Aaron Tippin. Being in the music business, traveling, working late, doesn't do great things for my routine. But I found that staying active and making time to work out helps keep my energy where it needs to be to perform my best. No matter what you do or where you are, make time to stay in shape. You'll feel better and have the energy you need to accomplish your goals. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
You're listening to Gervey's Law. I'm Alan Gervey. Carrie Kasem is here with me smiling. What comment do you have on that song?
I just think art plays good music. Of all the board ops, we have good board ops. I really like
great them. Ones.
But art, I have to say, takes the cake.
Wow.
And I love, music, there's some really great
board ops. You said that about Layla last Saturday.
She played some good, I'd never met her before. She played good music too.
I think
too.
Whoever's in the booth, you just say
that's
is the
a lie.
Best.
I think this is the second time I've ever said this on the show.
All right. I agree. It is. We're talking to Josh Oder and Steve Zorn. They're of Oder Investment Management. They're in Woodland Hills. Now, it's a fairly small company when we talk about Oder Investment Management. We're talking about investments and strategies. They've given us a lot of really good advice and things to look out for. But the question that we get, in fact, someone just texted, how do you know whether to go with a big firm or a small firm? You guys are a small firm. I know you give a lot of personal attention because I'm one of your clients. I'm disclosing it right here. I have a fiduciary duty to disclose it. And I really love the attention that I get and the personal attention, really, where we can talk about things. I was with a big company before, and we transferred everything from that company to you guys, and you've been taking care of it. I never spoke to the investment manager, the advisor with the big company. Steve, you were with Morgan Stanley, so you've had experience, and you've got another couple people at your company who also was with Morgan Stanley. Steve, what happened there?
I don't know. I think I lost the mic.
You lost the mic.
You're good now.
Be careful there.
Yeah.
You just don't want to talk about Morgan Stanley. But tell us the difference, the experience that you're having now with Oder Investment Management versus a big company.
Sure. So Josh approached me about 4 years ago to come on board with Oder Investment Management on the independent side. And I had been with Morgan Stanley since 2009, Prior to that, I was with Merrill Lynch since 2000. And the difference has been huge, just because touching on what Josh had said earlier about the fiduciary rule, where we absolutely have to work in the best interest of the client. When I was at Morgan, and I would see people coming through the training program, and they needed to meet goals every quarter, every month, and they would be pushing product that maybe, you know, it's good for the client, but maybe not in the best interest. And so they are trying to get that commission to make that goal for the month and quarter. It's just so that they can keep their job.
Right.
So that's no longer an issue, because we are the fiduciary and we have to work in the best interest of the client. And also, coming on to the independent side, the clients that we have are more like a big fish in a small pond rather than vice versa at the larger firms.
Right.
And I think the service that we're able to give our clients is really second to none, based on the fact that that's the way that we have set up the business.
And that's what I would really recommend people to try and experiment with, because it's such a great, a different experience to be a big fish in a small pond and to get that personal attention. People don't understand it or realize it until they're with someone like Odor Management, who are going to be with you hand in hand, as we said before, versus just being another number. I mean, I remember calling up the old brokerage firm I was with, and I was on hold for like so long while they were trying to find my accounts. I'm like, oh my God, I called Josh and or Steve, and they're like, hey, what's going on? Did he see the Red Sox made a big move and they're, you know, they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah, it's definitely a much more personal experience, for sure. And even I think when you're talking about the big brokerage houses, you know, a lot of those guys have thousands of clients. And, you know, we touched on the investment plan earlier that we create. We create unique plans for all of our households. That's because we don't have thousands of clients. We don't want to have thousands of clients. We're working with families that we want to work with, right? And so we develop really great personal relationships with our clients. And because of the fee-only structure, we need to develop great long-term relationships with
right.
our clients for them to be profitable for us.
That makes a lot of sense. And you know, you have such varied interests. And I think it's important. I mean, it's not like I want to talk to you about sports all day long. And I know there's a lot of other kids. You know, there's so many things you can talk about. But it is nice to know that you can talk about something that just isn't the money, especially at a time when the market may not be doing so great. You know, I come into your office and you have all the markets on the walls, on the TVs and everything. And sometimes, you know, you see a lot of red and you say, okay, let's just talk about baseball or football or, you know, the Winnipeg Jets.
No, absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah. The Jets. How about the Kings?
There you go.
Yeah, it's definitely much more of a personal relationship with our clientele. We're way more involved in what's going on in their lives and their interests than just, you know, their money.
I mean, you know, Carrie, we only have a few minutes left, and it's been a real enlightening hour. You have two guys here, experts.
Yes.
Ask them.
Yes, I do. I always have this question. It's,
here it is.
Okay. Have you been wrong about something where maybe somebody has come to you and said, "Buy, I know this stock is going to, this is going to go, this is going to hit." And you both were just like, no, he's not. He doesn't know anything about the market. And then went, oh, well, wait a second. What did we do?
Yeah, absolutely. And that
all the time.
That's tough.
I want to know what. What were you wrong about? What stock were you wrong about?
So when it first came out, I was wrong about Tesla. I thought that that was going to be the next government company that just cratered, because they were getting subsidies from the government.
Yes.
And I just didn't think that it was going to be a long-term play. And I had a client who actually had gotten dibs on getting one of the actual models up front before it came out. And she canceled it because I said, I don't think this company is going
to
make it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. But she would have had to wait a few years, because you remember how they pushed it and pushed it and pushed it.
Well, this was about 6 months out. And
so she
canceled it. And sure enough, you know, the earnings came out and it killed and the stock went up and she said, win some, lose some.
Yeah, well, that was good. But, you know, the other thing is there's many other options that she had for Tesla. And, Carrie, when you were asking your question, I thought you were going to go in a different direction because that was the easy direction. I thought what you were going to say is, have you put people into positions, into stocks, into an investment that has just tanked? And do you feel? Do you feel terrible about that?
But that's why they diversify. And that's right. why they have money in different kinds of stocks. Wait, and I already had that answer.
I talk to you every day. We only have 2 minutes. I want to hear from them.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, anybody that tells you they have not had a loser is just lying to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and when you have a loser, it hurts. You don't want to have them. But as Carrie said, I mean, that's where you diversify, right?
You
don't
put
the entire portfolio at risk with one position.
Right.
So, and that's what you're really working on these plans for. You know, it's so important. The advice you're giving today, people don't realize it. People get emotional. Josh Oder and Steve Zorn, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on Gervie's Law. It's really nice to take a break from this hardcore law stuff that we talk about all the time, Carrie, and to hear what's going on in a different arena.
Yes.
The investment arena. The Oder Investment Management. Again, I'll put a plug because I believe in it. I put a plug for people that I believe in.
And that you use.
And I've done it for 5 years since I've been on the air. And I don't talk about people who I don't believe in. I don't have them on the show. I make sure that people stay away from them. But these are people that you definitely should consider talking to, whether you have a lot of money, a little money, or you just need some advice. It's Oder Investment Management. They're in Woodland Hills. The number's 818-676-0036. 818-676-0036. Steve, Josh, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we had a great time.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for Gervie's Law today. Thanks for listening. And we expect you will be back next week.
By Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.